Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking all things Tennessee Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Suss, who covers the Titans from for the Tennessean. Nick, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, y'all. How are y'all?
We're great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Nick, let's just start with the game, 52-14. The final for the Titans against the Lions. It was gross. It was disgusting. It's become somewhat the expectation for this Titans team, particularly on special teams. I've never seen anything like what we saw on Sunday on the special team side of things. You know, Brian Callahan got up there yesterday and talked about Colt Anderson and the confidence he's got in him. But what do you make of just the operation right now on special teams? And are you surprised that there was not a coaching move made yesterday?
Optically, yeah. I mean, it would have made sense to make a coaching move, but logistically, these mistakes seem like they are somehow both because of and beyond coaching. Like, you can replace the coach. You can do all that stuff. I don't know if that's necessarily going to fix everything right now. Like, it does set a precedent, it shows a symbol. I get all of that from that perspective, but if you look at what's going on special teams from the big picture, especially in these return phases, there is just so much being messed up that I look at the players, I look at the operation, I look at the coaches, and I just think maybe it's better to try and fix it from the inside than it is to just start over. I really don't know where to start. I am not a special teams expert, but if you look at the personnel on the field, if you look at the fact that they're seemingly so sold out on protecting the punter because of the blocks early in the year that it makes sense that there's not enough speed on the field to keep up with Khalif Raymond. If you look at the fact that Stonehouse isn't putting the ball that high in the air, like, a lot of these can be coaching issues and a lot of these can be personnel issues. I really don't know where the differentiation is, and you bring in a new coach and the personnel. Oh, I just stepped on my cat. That stuck.
Oh, so, no. Is he or she okay?
She is okay. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I pace when I'm on the radio, live radio. Mistakes are made. I don't know. Long answer. I don't know if you fix the problem. You address something by making a change, but I don't know if that fixes anything.
I just want you to know, especially because she's okay, that will absolutely become a drop that we will very much enjoy in the future.
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
That's almost as good as me blowing up a chair on here.
Yeah, that was an all-time moment.
Yeah, I guess it's not quite that, but man, I'm glad to hear she's okay. Well, I was going to ask Nick if, you know, part of the issue with special teams could be the ball bouncing the wrong way.
Yeah.
I imagine you've had a little bit of reaction to your Q&A with Rand Carthon. So, first of all, just, you know, behind the scenes, I guess. So basically you just approached him in the locker room and said, hey, can you talk for a few minutes? And is that how it went? And then, yeah. Really, what did you think of – first of all, how is Kaharsky not like there, like, hey, I want a question too?
Yeah.
Like, how did you escape his clutches? And then what was your takeaway from Rand's answers to your questions?
I mean, I can't imagine that people care too much about the nitty gritty of beat dynamics, but I will say that people were talking to Arden Key and he was on the exact opposite side of the locker room. And I waited to see when nobody was looking to make my approach. So a little bit
yes!
of confusion on my
that's
part.
That's what I'm talking about. I think about. We love that stuff, right?
We do.
We love that stuff.
That's
good
a job. Well done.
Well done.
But no, I more than anything appreciated him saying yes. So I will give him that credit there. I don't know. If he had said the ball bounce thing after Chicago or after New York or after Indianapolis, I probably would have agreed. I mean, it's tough to say that when you've just lost by 38 points, but football is such a complicated game. And the ball bounce thing, yeah, it's true that when the ball hits the ground, there's about a 50-50 shot of who's going to pick it up. There's no real correlation between offense and defense. Like, fundamentally, that is accurate. And beyond that, the Titans needed a lot more than ball bounces to win that Detroit game. I wrote this Sunday night. I think that the thing that's frustrating about the Titans right now is you look at the issues that they had in those close losses to Chicago or New York or Indy, and you look at these last 2 weeks against Buffalo and Detroit, and the Titans haven't changed a bit. The only thing that's changed is that Buffalo and Detroit are much, much better than those teams were at the beginning of the year. So when you're one ball bounce away or you're two ball bounces away against those teams, when you're playing Super Bowl contenders, you're 5 and 6 ball bounces away. And that's not a competitive football game when you're 5 and 6 ball bounces away. And so you can look at, oh, the fumbles went the wrong way this time. Or you can look at, man, that interception Rudolph threw in the first quarter was a mistake. He shouldn't have let go of the ball. And these are repeat offenses. These are things that the Titans were doing in September, and they're still doing them heading into November. And I don't know if they've got another team like Buffalo or Detroit on the schedule, but when you got Minnesota and you got Washington and two games against Houston and some of these really, really good teams on the schedule, you're going to need more than ball bounces. You're going to need to have the ball bounce and also correct the mistakes on special teams and correct the turnovers you're making. And you're going to need to do so many things more to actually improve rather than just get to a baseline of get better than you were when you played week one against a rookie quarterback who'd never played in the NFL before, or when you were week two against a team that has since fired its coach. Like, getting back to that baseline of, oh, if the ball bounces our way, you're still average at best.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, Nick, obviously, I mean, you're 1-6 if you're the Titans. You know, the deadline's coming up next week. You look at the schedule, and it's just hard to find many more wins for the Titans on the schedule right now. And in the meantime, you got a first-year head coach that's trying to navigate all that and manage all that. So what do you make of the challenge for Brian Callahan as they move forward here with what is going to be a tidal wave of negativity from the fan base and what could include a lot more losing coming up? How do you kind of view the challenge he has in front of him in terms of managing that and getting through that on the other side?
Yeah, I wrote about this morning. It's like there's so much comparison made to what happened in San Francisco in 2017 or Cincinnati in 2019, Detroit in 2021 of, oh, well, those teams lost a bunch early and figured it out and turned it around. So just have that patience of Dan Campbell did it and Kyle Shanahan did it and Zach Taylor did it. So if those guys could start 0-10-1, Titans at 1-6 really isn't that bad. So I understand that part of it, but the Titans have such a unique situation compared to those teams of none of those teams went and spent $280 million or whatever it was heading into year one. Like, those were teams that were very much built young and saying, let's go from the ground up. This is a Titans team that was sold as we are trying to compete right now. And I think that's what makes it tougher for Callahan is that he comes into a year after 9 months, 10 months of hype of, oh, this team is going for it. This team isn't trying to start from the ground up. And when you have players who are ostensibly supposed to be in their prime of a Ridley or Snead or Cushenberry or Pollard or some of these guys who you went out and got, that makes it tougher to say, oh, well, if you start 1-11, but you finish 3-2, you're building for a future because these guys are going to get better. Because we have no guarantee that these guys aren't at their best right now. They could have a long prime, but you look at positions like receiver and corner and running back, these necessarily aren't your long shelf life positions in the NFL. So I think that makes Callahan's position even tougher because you're selling, I'm building for the future. I'm building for next year. We're stacking up these draft picks. We are trying to have this stockpile of young talent for the future, but your core isn't necessarily future leaning. And that makes it tough for people to grab onto, well, you got Latham, you got Sweat, you got McCreary and Brownlee. And beyond that, not too many pieces that you look at and they're like 25 and under, and this is going to be our Amon-Ra St. Brown, or this is going to be our George Kittle, or this is going to be our Joe Mixon, that those teams that you compare yourself to had. And without that already existing young core, I don't know, it's going to be an uphill battle to sell the, well, we're 1-11 or 2-10 or whatever it is, but look at all these pieces that are going to grow.
No, absolutely. That's a great point. I do think, obviously, a lot of things right now would look different if the quarterback play were better this year. What do you anticipate? Do you feel like, from Will Levis, do you feel like this break could help him at all? Where do you think it's going with him?
No, I do think that the mental reset's going to be good for him. I am very much a man of my predictions, and I spent the entire year saying, hey, September and October might be rough. Let's give him a chance in November and December. So I'm still giving him a chance. We knew that there was going to be an adjustment period. The adjustment period was a little bit worse than we expected, I will say. But I am still giving the grace of this was always supposed to be a learn-on-the-job situation where he is given the chance to emerge late in the season. That emergence has not happened yet, but it's really not that late in the season yet. So I say give him the chance. I say let's see if he develops the way that we thought he might. And if he doesn't, you have a really, really tough situation, really tough decision to make in January and beyond. But until I see that full scope of a season, see that arc, I am so not ready to say, let's start over and burn it down.
Nick Suss does an outstanding job covering the Tennessee Titans for the Tennessean. Nick, really good stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank y'all.
Yep, Nick Suss from the Tennessean, our guest on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll react to what Nick had to say, more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans as well. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.